everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Weekly Advice from Everyday Experts, a podcast in which HubPages staff members talk about really cool articles on the site and the subjects that those articles are related to. I'm Simone Smith, and there's someone else here.
Marina Lazarevich.
And she's, well, she and I have been on this podcast before discussing things such as Ninja and Ouija boards. And in our Ninja podcast, we kind of finished with, what's cooler, pirates or ninja? And it's a hard discussion.
It's a hard discussion, and we completely left out a relevant factor, which is the gender. Mm-hmm. Now, looking at it in totality, would I rather be a ninja or a pirate? I might be a ninja just because I like the outfits better.
Yeah.
But female pirates versus female ninjas, female pirates are just way more badass, so.
Exactly.
I kind of maybe want to change my answer there.
It does, because female pirates are some of the most impressive types of pirates, because, I mean, come on. Any guy can be.
Oh, yeah. It was the thing to do if you were a guy.
You know,
you could be a pirate, but if you're a girl, you couldn't be a pirate, so.
Yeah.
If you successfully pulled it off as a girl, you seriously crossed some boundaries that I wish I could cross at this day.
Indeed. So that's why we're devoting an entire podcast just to female pirates. Because, come on, they're awesome. And people talk too many times about male pirates. It's all about Captain Jack Sparrow. Come on. So we're actually going to use one of the hubs on HubPages by Kitty the Dreamer, who's an amazing hubber, called Fierce Pirate Woman, Woman Pirates of the Caribbean and Elsewhere. And we'll use that as a sounding board and kind of jump off it and discuss the most famous. We'll stay with the four most famous female pirates.
Yes, and we'll start with the two that I think we're most excited to talk about.
Heck yeah!
Because they were kind of like partners in crime at a certain point.
Well, they're the most famous female pirate duo. And I mean, the fact that there is a duo of female pirates is impressive as it is.
Makes it all the more awesome, indeed.
Yeah.
So I guess we could start just to do a brief history on each of them, and then we can talk about their actions together.
Exactly. So let's start with one young Mary Read.
Yes.
She was born in the early 1700s, and she was an illegitimate child.
Illegit.
Yep, so her mom actually had a legitimate child who was a son who unfortunately died, and her mom didn't want to give up the income that she got from one of the kid's legitimate...
paternal grandmother.
Yeah. So she kind of just swapped Mary into his place and was like, "No, he's fine. He's totally fine. Look, he's a guy, and here he is, and keep giving us money."
And of course, the grandmother was just totally fooled and let that go on all throughout Mary's teenage years. So.
Yeah, so Mary basically grew up a boy.
And looting. in her own way, legitimate or illegitimate.
Looting from this grandmother who thought that she was a boy and a legitimate child. So we've already, can you imagine being that crafty from a child? I mean, I guess she probably just thought she was a boy. Because honestly, though she was supported through her teenage years, after that, she decided to find work, as rightfully she should. And she just decided to work as a footboy. Like, keep the male gender, because she grew up with it. And eventually then she got work on a ship. And then she got a job with the British military, which at that time was allied with Dutch and Austrian forces.
I wonder, though, she worked on a ship, unlike Anne Bunny, Mary was a daughter of a sea captain. I wonder how much time they spent together and whether or not that had any influence on her wanting to venture out into the world on the sea.
Wasn't that Grace O'Malley who was the...
I believe that Mary Read was... Her father was also...
Goodness
a sea
gracious.
Captain.
So this must be like a thing, is that female pirates do have like a little bit of a connection with fathers who...
Well, yeah, with Anne Bunny at least, I thought it was interesting. Well, we'll get to it later, that she was the daughter of a lawyer. So she was kind of just...
Are we
she had the rebellion phase.
Is this all like a reaction to the father?
I don't
know. Wanting to be like their father or not wanting to be like their
I'm
father?
Just wondering what got Mary Read into the sea. It seems like...
Yeah, well,
It's the boy thing. Maybe it's the dressing up as a boy thing.
I think
thing.
Also it was...
Maybe her mom just was meh.
Well, if your mom made you dress up like your dead brother to get money...
Yeah, I probably would want to escape.
I mean, desperate times lead to jump into measures. Sea. People were hungry back then, as they still are now. And I mean, when you're hungry, you'll do stuff. You'll do anything. But I mean...
True.
It was still weird. Although, you know, for all this dressing up like a male, Mary Read was still heterosexual because she actually met and fell in love with and married a Flemish soldier who apparently wasn't really bothered by the fact that she always appeared to be a guy. However, Mary did dress up like a girl for her wedding.
That's fair enough. I mean, that was the first time, right, that she dressed up as a girl.
Yeah, she hadn't dressed like a woman before. Can you imagine? I wouldn't change just for my wedding day. It feels so unnatural.
That's a reference of previous podcasts, but talk about getting married for the wrong reasons.
I know. Jeez. But it seemed like they had a happy marriage. Mary and her, I'm going to say he was dashing because that makes me happy.
He was Flemish,
dashing.
Obviously.
Well,
he was dashing.
I mean, he's Flemish. He was in the military. He got a bean. He's a catch, I'm sure. They got an inn. They actually bought an inn. They called it the Three Horseshoes in the Netherlands. And I think they got it with money that they got from people for their marriage who were kind of like, this is an odd couple. So I think they cashed in on that and they had their little inn and they had a good life until the husband died.
Alas.
Yeah, it's a bummer. So Mary decided to rejoin the military in Holland, but unfortunately the war was over, so there wasn't anything to do. So she decided to board a ship bound for the West Indies. At that point, the ship was overtaken by pirates, and that's when they entered her life. They forced her to join with them. Although she took the king's pardon later on and was like, no, okay, I'm giving up the life of piracy, so you don't hang me. And she also took a commission to privateer, which, for those who aren't familiar with that particular role, it's when you're a pirate, but you're doing it for a government against the enemy's ships, so it's okay with that one government. But then later she joined a pirate crew in a mutiny, so.
And that's when things got exciting,
in my
opinion.
That is when things got exciting, indeed.
So that's a little bit about Mary, who, as you'll see later, is quite an awesome woman.
Oh, yeah.
And Anne Bonny, probably the more famous of the two, arguably, but both of them remain pretty famous as female pirates in history. Anne was a rebellious teen, and she was the daughter of a lawyer who, I believe Anne was from Ireland? Or England.
I think she was from England.
She was from England. Right. She was from England, and then they moved to the New World at some point in time to South Carolina, it is rumored. And her dad was a lawyer, which is why I thought it was interesting. She was rebelling against...
I love that.
Yes. She was rebelling against her dad's crappy profession, but at the same time, she was a rebellious teen, probably in heart. In fact, my favorite rumor about her is that she stabbed a servant girl with a butter knife. And I don't really know what's
true.
I hope that's true too. And I don't really care what the servant girl did, stabbing someone with a butter knife.
I know.
As a 13-year-old, I mean, you got to have some rage in order to pull that off.
Major rage.
She later then married Captain John Bunny against her father's wishes, and possibly because he was a sea captain and her father was a lawyer, and he didn't want anything to do with that shenanigans.
Heck yeah, I mean, it's classic. This
yeah.
is totally classic.
There was speculation, probably amongst the family, that John married her just for her dowry, which never came because her father disowned her after the marriage. She then moved to Nassau in the Bahamas with John. And anticlimactically, she met Captain Calico Jack Rackham and left John, and then pursued some time with Calico Jack. In the meantime, John became an informant to the governor, and there's some rumor, I guess, that this was actually the reason why she left him. Which happened first, I think, is unclear.
Yeah, I mean,
but
you know, it's not like people were writing all this stuff down, or
exactly.
If they were,
this is all pirate gossip.
Pirate
you know?
Gossip. You know how they go.
Centuries later, as discussed by Marita and Simone. one thing I wanted to note about Anne that makes her awesome is she maintained dress as a female. She did not decide to play the male card and was just a badass while she did it.
Yeah.
With Captain Jack, they pillaged the seas together, living life in full happiness, until John put out a warrant on Anne. She was brought back, flogged before the governor, and then returned to John.
You know that's not going to be a happy relationship. With the rebellious Anne Bonny, you can't drag her back, flog her, and be like, yeah, you're still my wife.
Yeah, John clearly you know, was operating under the orders of the governor, or, you know, maybe he just was jealous that he was left by such an awesome, awesome lady.
I would be jealous.
I would be jealous, too. And, of course, not to much surprise, Anne ran away with Jack Rackham again, because clearly John seems kind of like a tool here.
Well, in honesty, with a nickname like Calico Jack, you can't resist that.
Yes, and we'll see later that Calico Jack is actually a pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
So now, I guess, that's a little bit of background about Anne, and how she met Mary and how they became a little duo of female awesomeness in the seas happened around 1720, right, Simone?
Exactly. It was at that point that Mary Read joined the crew of Calico Jack Rackham as a guy. So that's when she, you know, she was just another pirate with everyone. But then Anne developed this liking for Mary, maybe because she was different. Maybe she could tell her female intuition was like, there's something special about this dude. And Mary, maybe, who was concerned that Anne had feelings for him that was really a her, was like, hey, I'm a girl. And I think they were really buddy-buddy after that because they shared this very rare gender on the high seas, especially the high illegal
very
seas.
Rare.
Yeah.
And to further the pirate gossip, obviously before Calico Jack was aware that Mary was a female, he was jealous and thought that, you know, Mary was trying to swoop in on his honey.
I know.
So Mary had to reveal herself, and then, as I said earlier, Calico Jack was cool about it, and he permitted her to stay on the ship.
I think that's pretty, it's pretty high of him.
I mean,
well, although he was progressive enough to sail the seven seas, or at least a couple of seas, or maybe just one sea, with a female. So he probably didn't have those weird suspicions about having women on boats.
Exactly.
Or anything, which are
he was forward
preposterous.
Thinking. They are totally
women
preposterous.
Are not unlucky at all. Well, okay, except for the ones that are. But anyway, Mary Read herself, I fell in love again when she was with when
she was with Rackham's crew. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it was either a carpenter or a navigator. He was kind of known as like a ship's artist or something. And he apparently was pulled into a duel with another pirate, which is unfortunate. But this is how
such
awesome
is life.
Mary Read is, right?
She's oh, yeah.
Like, oh, no, will he survive? I'm so very nervous. Instead, she was like, all right, I'm going to pull up to this guy at a bar and get him really angry. And so she got in a fight with him. And they arranged for a duel that happened before her loved one's duel, and she just killed the dude.
Yeah.
She killed him right there.
Without question, pretty badass Mary Read.
Yeah, I just that's fun. And come on, man, female empowerment, like it's I've never heard of a woman fighting a duel to save her man.
Yeah, and that's why we'll never know what the name of this carpenter navigator really was.
Yeah, yes,
he was the guy that, you know, just got pulled into a duel and then didn't do anything about it, unfortunately.
I'm sure he was thankful.
He was probably very thankful.
Yeah. But then, man, I mean, in October of 1720, so it's not even been a year when all of these fantastic things have happened. One, Jonathan Barnett, a pirate hunter, which is actually a kind of cool position. Pirate hunter. Jonathan Barnett, pirate hunter. Crashed a rum party held by Rackham's crew and disabled their ship. So apparently everyone was really cowardly about the way that this happened.
Well, they were really drunk, weren't they?
Well, yeah, and Jonathan Barnett was probably a total, like, scary guy. So they ran below ship and were cowering, and then Anne, Mary, and then one other pirate were left to fight, which is ridiculous. Apparently, the women were so angry that they injured a couple of their shipmates, being like, get up and fight! And
I would be pretty pissed. Yeah. I mean, I understand you had some rum, but at this point in time, you gotta...
I know, even if you're drunk, I mean...
You're
then
in it to win it.
Yeah, right?
Team. Ugh.
But apparently these guys just couldn't... So anyway, they were overcome, and they were tried, and they were all sentenced to hang. But being awesome women and crafty, and perhaps also legitimately knocked up, Read and Bonnie escaped death by claiming that they were pregnant.
Pleading the belly.
Yeah, apparently that was the term for when you're just pleading the belly.
Anytime anyone accuses me of anything, I'm just gonna I plead the belly.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll work.
Yeah, I'm gonna give that a go. Just eat a lot and kind of have my food baby sticking out.
Nice, there's an excuse for it.
Yes.
All right.
So, unfortunately, though, there is not... It's like a 50% happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
In that Reed, unfortunately, died in prison in 1721 in April, so not too long after this whole debacle took place. It could have been a fever. It could have been childbirth. It could have been a fever associated with childbirth. I mean, it's not like the conditions were great in jail.
It was the 18th century. Could have been anything.
I know, really. They're just dropping like flies.
And as for Anne, well, she disappeared from the historical record.
Which is kind of, I mean, you know.
It's awesome.
Just, yeah, it's like walking and slinking off into the shadows. Like.
Yeah, she probably like went and married a shark or something.
She must have. That's it. She married a shark.
No one messed with her after that.
But I mean, dude, female pirate duos do not get any better.
Mm-mm.
That said, there were other pirates out there. Pretty much every female pirate story collection includes at least one mention of a Chinese pirate who has... Well, she goes by three different names. Some people call her Ching Shi.
Others call her Chingy Sao.
And others Zhang Yi Sao.
And we've probably mispronounced all three of those. But, ain't no thing.
Yeah, we can't help it. Besides, no one really knows who this woman was, it seems. But we do know that she was a famous Chinese pirate who lived from 1775 to 1844, which, if you do the math, is not a bad time range.
Not at all. 69, I mean, she made it pretty far there.
Yeah, I mean, considering the life of female pirates and death in jail and marrying sharks and everything.
Yeah.
It's hard on your lifespan. But she apparently started out as a prostitute in a floating brothel, but then...
I'm sorry, do those still exist? When I read that in the hub, I thought that was...
Dude, they must. I am almost entirely sure that they do.
Okay, just making sure.
Because I just love wandering through red light districts in Asia, and they are out there.
Okay.
So there have to be floating versions.
Well, that's, in my opinion, quite an upgrade from working in a brothel to... being a pirate.
Yeah, well, except that this is the thing that kind of disappointed me, was that she married into it.
Yep.
I mean, although, to be honest, Anne Bonny did, too.
She did, you're right. She married and then just overtook him and...
And got cooler.
And got way
he became cool. A rat, and she became an epic female pirate.
And she was always, you know, rebellious at heart.
Precisely.
And had that in her that... I wasn't too surprised at how that went down.
Yeah.
This one, I guess, Ching Yi Sao...
She married Zhang Yi. Which is how apparently she got her Zhang Yi Sao name, which is literally like the wife of Zhang Yi, apparently. But he was a famous, famous Chinese pirate. And apparently she ruled next to him. And after he died, she kind of kept the pirate business going. So
yeah. She had a knack for business. And then she, I guess, eventually married her adopted son.
Yep.
And she afterwards moved on. And he himself had become a lieutenant in the fleet.
Yep.
So together they ruled that pirate ship, or fleet rather, together. What happened next with them?
Well, they did the responsible thing, which is they accepted amnesty from the Chinese government in 1810, which allowed her to keep her loot and open a gambling house. So way to go, lady. That's why she was
versatile woman.
I know. I mean, considering the fact that she went from being a prostitute to a successful wife of a famous dude, to a successful businesswoman, to a total early cougar, to a gambling house owner.
That's the life. And she lived long, so...
She did. So
props to her.
Props to her indeed. There may not be a whole lot of story out there on her, but she's a cool,
she's
cool woman.
She's worth mentioning. Yep. And now back to the other part of the world.
Yeah, to Ireland.
In Ireland, yes. We encounter another person of many, many names.
Yes.
If you look at the record, Grace O'Malley.
She's one of the early pirates, because the ones we've been talking about are, you know...
17th century.
1700s, early 1800s. She lived from 1530 to 1603. That's pretty old.
I feel bad for her because she was born in Ireland during the time of Henry VIII.
Not the funnest time in the world.
No, he must have just been a pain.
I'm sure that he was. There are lots of stories about him, for sure.
He could be in his own podcast, assuming we find the appropriate.
There could be one for each of his wives.
Yes, and each of his STDs.
Oh my gosh, there are not enough podcasts out there for that.
Anyhow, back to Grace O'Malley.
Yeah.
Her father was a chieftain of the O'Malley clan, which meant he was the leader.
Yeah, and he was one of the, this was one of the two seafaring families on the west coast of Ireland. So they had a row of castles along the ocean. He would always go out sailing, and she always wanted to join him.
I like how they rolled. I mean, imagine a row of castles facing the ocean as opposed to some random spot. You know, they kind of knew what they were doing, I think.
Hey, it's all about seafront property. That's what I'm saying.
They did. And they, what I thought was really interesting about this clan was that they were already well advanced in sort of the trade and business element of, you know.
Yeah, they had expeditions to Spain.
Yes, and this was all, well, I guess this was around the exploration period, so that makes some sense. But anyhow, yes. The point was that they taxed those who fished on their coast, and like Simone just said, according to legend, Grace wanted to go on this expedition to Spain with her father. And now the sad part here is that she couldn't go because her father said her hair would get caught in the ropes. And her solution was to chop it all off.
Yeah.
Which gave her the nickname Grain Mall.
We'll just say Grain Mall. Grain Mall. That is not an Irish accent, Simone.
It's Fail. Not. And I can't even, I don't know what accent I can even say it in, but it means the bald one or bald Grace.
Bald Grace. Don't you love that?
I do.
Yeah.
Same Grace, just bald.
Yeah. But I don't think they let her on the boat even at that point. They were just kind of like a funny joke kid.
The logic, though. You gotta love it.
I know. That shows her devotion to the sea. I mean, this was a woman who wanted to be a pirate. She wanted to go out there and play with the guys, and I really appreciate that. Though being that this was, you know, the olden times, the thing that you did if you were a woman was you get married. So she did that. She married this guy named Donal of the Battle, which is the English translation.
Let's not even bother with the
I'm not even going to try with these, you know, amazing, very Irish words. But he had three children with her. They were named Owen, Margaret, and Murrow. And unfortunately, he was killed in battle. So I guess similar to other, you know, female pirates out there, you lose the first husband, but
it happens.
Yeah.
You lose, and then you move on.
Yeah.
But he was unfortunately killed. Grace returned to the O'Malley territory, taking many of O'Flaherty's followers with her.
So again, this is very similar to Zengi Sal.
Yes.
And the husband dies, but she basically takes on the business, takes on a lot of the followers.
Yes, and she basically, yes, takes the followers. They set up in Clare Island and Clew Bay. She marries again to Iron Burke, or Richard Burke, or Iron Richard, as they called him. Because
he had iron abs.
He did. He had iron abs, iron arms, iron buns. But no, really, it was because he wore a mail coat.
Gotta love the mail.
My favorite part here was they were married under Brehon for Law for 1 year certain.
This sounds so progressive.
It does.
Actually, and considering what we were talking about in our marriage podcast.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, awesome. You know, you get 1 year for certain. Everything else is up for debate after that.
Yep.
And the way that she ended it was she locked herself in Rockfleet Castle, which was a castle that she claimed from him, actually. And she just called out from the window, Richard Burke, I dismiss you. And that was all it was. That
this
ended the marriage.
The way that we dump people from now on.
It's just so simple and to the point.
Yeah.
For the purposes of English records, however, you know, they were allied. They stayed together. And they had a son, I guess, which is a symbol of them being together. Theobald Burke, who was eventually knighted.
Yeah, which is not bad. Being knighted is pretty cool stuff.
Exactly. So yeah. She dumped Iron Richard. He was cool for a while. And rumor has it that she had other relationships floating about, other dudes.
Nothing super on the official, horizon. Though. So she just kind of dabbled.
She was into the friends with benefits kind of thing.
Yeah, look at this progressive woman. Can you believe it?
I you know, I like Anne and I do like Mary, but I really like how Grace O'Malley rolled with this Iron Richard dude.
Yeah, anyway, she became a chieftain of the O'Malley clan, which is pretty cool, considering that, you know, originally she was told she couldn't even get on a ship because her hair would get caught in the ropes. She was involved in international trade. She had a big following after, you know, bringing her first husband's followers along back home with her. She even had some interesting, war stories regarding her defensive fortresses that she she decided to adopt, and that which were later attacked. They were attacked at different times. I think they're from the Joyce clan. And the first time the English attacked her, and she melted metal from the roof and poured it on top of the people attacking it, which is
awesome.
Well, and it's just like in the movies, you know, yeah. Like, let's melt things and pour it like hot tar on them.
Yeah. It's like in a Game of Thrones too. I don't know if you read or watched any of
I
that.
I do too. No,
but there's some awesome melting on the head action, melting metal rather.
Yeah.
So I thought this was a pretty solid movie. What are you going to do? You're attacking, and then suddenly your head is getting encapsulated in metal.
Bad news. It's
hot
really
metal.
Bad news. Yeah. So I mean, she was known for being like pretty tough about defending her property, and she also, I guess, even though there was no official, like, I'm a pirate message that she sent out, there were a lot of complaints from England about O'Flaherty ships behaving like pirates. Maybe because they were like, pay up, like, you need to pay taxes or something.
And yeah.
Whatever. I mean, politics. That's how it goes. apparently she did attack some ships and fortresses. And she did inherit also her father's ship and land, so
she had a lot on her belt, no doubt.
Yeah. But this whole, like, bullying accusation with the whole, like, you being a pirate made Queen Elizabeth kind of not happy with her. So eventually she sailed to England, not just to kind of smooth things over, but to secure the release of two of her sons and her half-brother who were taken captive by an English governor. The story of her meeting Queen Elizabeth, can you just imagine, like, these two very powerful women?
Yes, from completely different backgrounds and
yeah.
with completely different values.
Yeah.
Just face to face.
Yeah, just showing up. Apparently, when Grace O'Malley came to have an audience with the Queen, they found some weapons on her and they had to take them off. And she, she sneezed at one point, and one of the court ladies handed her a handkerchief, and she blew her nose, but then she threw it into the fire. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, that's so gauche. Who throws handkerchiefs into the fire? And she was like, oh, well, it's unsanitary to keep reusing them. So anyway, there are some cultural differences, but all things said.
And then some servant got whipped and had to pick it up.
Yeah,
and
typical.
It was an hour debacle.
But they apparently got on pretty well. Maybe because they appreciated that both of them were powerful women in a time when women were not known for getting a whole lot of influence. So Grace actually managed to secure the release of her men on the condition that she stopped supporting Irish rebellions and piracy against the English. But she eventually went back to doing that anyway, so take that.
Yeah, pirate's life for Grace.
Yep, but much like Queen Elizabeth, she died around 1603. And I would like to say that she's just a successful pirate. And I didn't know about her. I knew about the other ones. I did not know about Grace O'Malley.
She has quite an interesting story. I'm glad we got to read about her, thanks to Kitty the Dreamer.
Yeah. Thank you, Kitty the Dreamer. You mentioned in the beginning of your hub on Fierce Pirate Woman that you'd always had dreams of being a pirate and being free and going out and sailing the seas. And I think I did too. I don't know about you, Marina.
There's a little bit of that in all of us, yeah. I think.
So really do appreciate you writing about them, and we all had fun kind of daydreaming about what our pirate lives might be like.
So thanks for the awesome hub.
Yeah. But now we want to take a second to go back and read some feedback from one of the listeners to a previous podcast that we did. This was from a couple weeks back when we talked about Ouija boards, which are fascinating and weird and fantastic. And we mentioned at one point how around the time The Exorcist came out, that was kind of the nail in the coffin for Ouija boards because everyone thought that it would make you possessed and that they would be evil. Well, one Reverend E.M.
Camarena.
Thank you. PhD.
Yes.
This is, he knows what he's talking about. Wrote in to say that that might not actually have been the case. So he says, I believe that you are incorrect in stating that the movie The Exorcist put a damper on sales of the talking board. True, the movie did engender much of the fear people now accept as truth, having single-handedly turned a popular parlor game into a doorway to hell. But it is my understanding that sales soared after the film came out. So many millions have been sold that it boggles the mind that anyone, I do not mean you here, could believe that the game could cause demonic possession. Were that so, by now millions of folks across the nation would be writhing and spitting up pea soup, which makes us giggle. This continues to be a hot item. Of late, Parker Brothers released a pink Ouija successfully aimed at young girls and a unique Ozzy Osbourne board for those who purchased the VIP tickets to one of his concerts. They sell for quite a lot on eBay, where the trade on the average vintage boards is quite brisk. As to the cases of insanity, well, you may have a point there, but considering how loony the average American is, seems to be today, I mean, gay marriage is the latest great threat to civilization, yes, something is wrong with the people. Seriously though, Ouija board expert or maven, Robert Murch, looked into the matter and he cannot locate a single case of a person being sent to a mental hospital because of the board. He gives us his site to look at and other details, but basically he dispelled a lot of the things that many people believe made Ouija boards slide into
a depressing, bottomless pit of depression.
Apparently,
and
they're doing
mental
quite
illness.
Well.
Yeah, which was really the biggest drawback that we discussed in that hub last time.
Yeah,
so,
is that there were these accusations of insanity and people were afraid of possession. Although, you know, the counter argument to this fantastic defense of the Ouija board and its normalness is that when we did post our Ouija board podcast on Facebook, we got a lot of comments from people who said, don't go near them, they're portals to evil worlds, they will lead to possession. So I think that there's actually a pretty decent divide between people out there. Some are like, this is ridiculous, this is just not an issue, and other people think that it really is one.
I mean, Murch's research could very well be true that there weren't a lot of cases of people admitted into mental hospitals, but that doesn't necessarily disprove that the Ouija board didn't drive people absolutely crazy. It's probably based on your individual experience and as we tried to get
at. Religious, you know, background too. I'm sure that there are some sects that really think that it's a bad idea.
I'm sure frequency of use has something to do with it.
Probably.
I mean,
yeah.
There are a lot of factors at play, and I'm willing to risk it and test it out for myself.
We really need to. We need to.
Maybe we can contact some of these female pirates via Ouija board and get some advice.
That is our next assignment. Oh, I'm really excited. And if you, listeners, have an assignment for us in the future, some issue you'd like us to discuss, or some hub on Hub Pages that you think would be great for us to talk about in a podcast, you should tell us about it. You can send us an email to podcast@hubpages.com. We check it a lot. We get really excited when people write in, and we might talk about you in a future podcast. So do it, because it's what the cool kids do.
Yes.
So we hope you enjoyed our discussion of awesome female pirates today, and
thanks again to Reverend E.M. Camarena for your response to our Ouija board podcast.
Yeah.